You're listening to Inside here on CAP Radio. I'm Mike Haggerty in for Vicky Gonzalez this week. If you've lived in the Sacramento area for some time, you know that our air quality can get bad, really bad, whether it's a stretch of hot weather that's trapped stagnant air or those times when we have wildfire smoke billowing into the valley for days and weeks on end. Watery eyes, scratchy throats, sore lungs, just miserable. There are a handful of places in the Sacramento area that are at risk for poor air quality, not just during hot or smoky days, but most days. And it's because of where residents live. Those areas are known as environmental justice areas, and as you might imagine, there are neighborhoods in Sacramento County that have been designated as having some of the worst air quality. Professor and chair of the Sac State Environmental Studies Department, Dr. Wayne Linklater, and his group of students are working to study how poor air quality impacts the health and quality of life for residents living in those areas. And Professor Linklater joins us now. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mike. Nice to be here.
So what is the definition of an environmental justice area in the county, and which specific neighborhoods are we talking about?
So the definition's multifaceted. It's not just air quality. It's, generally speaking, these are underserved communities, those that could benefit most from an investment in environmental and social social investment. Mm-hmm. The areas are around Gardenland, around North Highlands, West Arden Arcade, South Sacramento, the North Vineyard area.
So Sacramento County's Public Health Department has partnered with you and your students at Sac State to research the air quality in these areas. Can you walk us through some of the work that you and your students are doing?
Certainly. So what we're doing is taking air quality equipment out into those communities and moving around those neighborhoods taking air quality measurements. We're primarily interested in black carbon, nitrous oxide, and carbon monoxide, but also in the heavy metals that aerolize.
And do these areas have a common thread in terms of what makes them susceptible to bad air quality?
They do. As you can imagine, underserved neighborhoods tend to become established in areas of high pollution because they're commercial and industrial areas. For example, they have major freeways running through them, or often not just through them, but either side of them. They're bounded by freeways. They're also part of modern delivery hubs. So they're exposed to a lot of vehicle emissions.
What kind of health issues are known to be associated with poor air quality?
The list is growing, but we know, for example, respiratory health for sure is a major loss with deteriorating air quality. But medical science is starting to discover that actually air quality exacerbates a whole suite of other conditions. It exacerbates diabetes, heart disease, and that's because air quality causes inflammation of the lungs and the respiratory system.
So you have a neighborhood that is largely more impacted by these environmental factors than many others. It is generally poor. Services like healthcare are probably less available and less in the reach of these people. Am I right in thinking that these are neighborhoods that also have the disadvantage of a lack of trees that at least in some way offset that?
Yes, you're correct. So trees do offset some of this air pollution. They tend to filter and trap. And while Sacramento is known as a very treed city, in actual fact, there are neighborhoods that are pretty barren when it comes to vegetation. And would be.
So how long is your research project going to go on?
The monitoring of air quality is just for 1 year, and that's intentional. What we're trying to do is capture the day-to-day, weekly, seasonal, and annual variation in air quality in these neighborhoods.
You have spent the better part of your career studying people's impact on the environment. Is there anything in this research so far that has surprised you? Any big takeaway?
No, not really. We're traveling an already well-traveled path. The key point here for us is that we're measuring air quality on a much finer scale. And we're using that information and providing that information to our underserved community partners in order that they might use that information to advocate and lobby for themselves for better air quality.
Is there anything that you see in this that appears to be a relatively easy fix? Are there things that we could do simply and relatively inexpensively that would improve the lot of the people who live in these hazardous areas?
I'm pretty optimistic about the situation. It's going to be a slow, long trajectory, but electrification is going to solve a lot of this problem. The problem it won't solve is the heavy metals that we're measuring, because those heavy metals largely that are in the air from vehicle emissions aren't largely from combustion of fuels. They're actually from wear and tear. Things like brake linings, they have some pretty nasty metals in them, and breathing those in's not good for your health. But for many other things like black carbon, nitrous oxides, the electrification of the transport fleet is going to make a huge difference over the next 10, 15, 20 years.
What about your students? What are they learning in this, and how do you expect this particular project to influence what they do in their lives as scientists as they go on?
Right. So most of these students are majoring in environmental studies at Sac State. They're interested often in degrees in careers in industry with business or in local government. And so we see this sort of partnership with community and between the community and interns is providing them the sorts of experience that they can use in early career, not just to achieve those first early career steps, but also give them those sort of instrumental values and knowledge and skills to be able to apply those in early career.
Are you interacting on a one-on-one basis with any of the people who live in these neighborhoods?
My team is not, but our partners' teams are. So what's happening concurrent with the air quality monitoring is our partners in the project, United Latinos, Valley Vision, Breathe California, they have initiated a health survey of our neighborhoods. And so we're going to hopefully eventually be able to place the health data alongside the air quality data to be able to say something useful about the relationship between poor air quality and the health of people living in these neighborhoods.
Do you have a sense at this point, comparing Sacramento to other cities of similar size, as to whether we're in better, worse, or average shape when it comes to this?
You know, you indicated at the beginning that Sacramento has one thing disadvantage compared to other cities, and that it's sitting in the middle of a valley, a bowl. And that creates a big problem for Sacramento compared to other cities. Cities with a good stiff breeze across them most of the year don't suffer these problems. We have a challenge, and that particular part of the challenge can't be overcome. We actually do have to lower air pollutants to solve the problem.
Where would we be without our valley, or rather our delta breeze, and the trees that we do have?
Yeah, it would be a lot worse off.
And I suppose for evidence of that, we could look down valley to Fresno, to Bakersfield, which are two urban areas that are, you know, infamous for their poor air quality.
Mm. Yeah, the whole Central Valley actually has this problem to varying degrees.
So if we solve the immediate local issues in these neighborhoods, how much of an improvement can we make given the geographical limitations that we're discussing here?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So we're focused on vehicle emissions. We have another looming problem, of course, and that's pollutants that come in from outside the city. And, of course, we're talking about wildfires, which are very topical at the moment. The solution to that problem is a much greater geographical solution. And, we're making a start with vehicle emissions.
I know that you have discussed what the end goal of the project is, at least within the limitations, you know, that are set for you in the beginning. But are you hoping on some level that local government, Sacramento County, takes what you find here and does more with it?
Yeah, I do. And that's beyond me. There's more thinking to be done on that topic. I think it's a really difficult problem, and I don't envy them. This is a start in quantifying the problem. Yes, we're going to have to be very creative.
Do you think your research, and I'm going to make this the last question, do you think your research could help inform the planning of future development in our area so that we don't create more of these urban islands that make for bad air?
Yeah, we could. A little better zoning, maybe some planning around, rather than laissez-faire networks, transport networks, maybe we could be smarter about designing networks within a city that expose fewer people to emissions.
Dr. Wayne Linklater is a professor and chair of the Environmental Studies Department at Sac State. Doctor, thank you for joining us. Please come back and share the results of your work.
Will do. Thank you.
And that's Insight for today. Learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like to join the conversation, email us, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer, Antonio Muniz. Chris Feltz is in the booth, too, keeping me on track. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Mike Haggerty for Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow morning.